This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
We've probably all seen suspended liquids before, perhaps in lava lamps or a greasy pan soaking in your kitchen sink. But liquid droplets can also be made from protein molecules in living cells. I'm talking about a concept called liquid phase separation. It's a field of cell research which is more physics than biology, and it's gaining a lot of attention from scientists around the world.
I'm extremely excited about this because it turns around our view of how the cell works. We're actually talking about microenvironments, gradients, fluid dynamics. So this brings in a whole new complexity of our understanding. But it has the huge power to explain puzzling observations that we cannot explain since years.
That's Susanna Wegmann. She's a neuroscientist studying these liquid droplets and how they might be related to disease. We'll hear more from her later. But first, I spoke to Tony Heimann from the Max Planck Institute of Molecular Cell Biology and Genetics in Germany, who explained the concept of phase separation.
The easiest way to imagine phase separation is the following. You have two molecules, A and B, and they're diffusing around and mixed. And then conditions change, and suddenly A prefers to be with A and B prefers to be with B, then you phase separate. And the classic example we tend to use is a vinaigrette. It's separated out into oil and vinegar.
It's this process which explains how proteins can form what appear to be liquid droplets within the cytoplasm, and they're quite different than the other compartments in the cell.
If you take a membrane-bound compartment like a mitochondrion, it's obvious why all the components are in the same place, because they've got a membrane to constrain them. But nobody understood how it was that in these non-membrane-bound compartments that the components all stayed in one place. And that's what we learned from studies of phase separation, was that the physical chemistry of phase separation provided an explanation for how they could all stay in one place in the cell.
Without a membrane, the droplets are held together by the physical properties of the proteins and their surroundings. I asked Susanna if factors like pH, temperature, or pressure may play a role in this.
So it's actually all of the above what you just mentioned. The behavior of the protein or the different charge distribution, the hydrophobicity, and all of those factors play into the affinity to each other and on the phase separation behavior.
The idea of phase separation in living cells has been around for over a century. In 1899, Edmund Wilson talked about suspended drops with a different chemical nature. But the theory remained on the fringes of research for many years. And even when phase separation was observed, the phenomenon was attributed to artificial artifacts. But eventually, people started to take the theory seriously.
Well, if we look historically, it would make sense to explain the organization of the cell using physical chemistry. And all those theories really stumbled on the fact that no one knew enough about the molecules to constrain theories. So then, well, basically, the microscopy got a lot better so that we could begin to look at these drops. People all over the world started to look at different structures and realized that there may be a general phenomenon for how you organize cellular biochemistry.
By combining earlier work on the physical chemistry of the cell with this newfound detail of molecular biology, scientists are now beginning to see the bigger picture of cellular organization. And scientists are discovering these liquid droplets have a key function for the proteins they're made from.
So these droplets could be used, for example, as a mini reactors. So you basically concentrate proteins in a small volume. So it has been described very nicely in the 80s and 90s as a microcompartmentation of the cytosol, and has been like then super advanced by Tony Heimann. He showed that this is actually has biological relevance in diverse aspects of life.
So the droplets are like a crucible for reactions to occur, but do they do anything else?
If you, let's say you have an enzyme with two different substrates, if the enzyme goes into the compartment and one of the substrates, but the other substrate can't go into the compartment, then you immediately increase the specificity of the reaction. That gives you a number of advantages, provides a whole new layer of control.
But these droplets are also related to disease. How? Well, it's all to do with the physical state of the proteins.
One of the things we noticed as we began to look more carefully is that although many compartments are of liquids, for instance, when a cell needs to survive stress or needs to be dormant, they harden into what are more gel-like structures to shut down biochemistry. So some are liquids, but some are more like gels, and some are actually more like solids.
It's this hardening of the liquid droplets that's associated with diseases, particularly neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's, ALS, and Huntington's. They are linked to clumping and solidification of proteins, a process called aggregation.
We've known for a long time that many, if not most, neurodegenerative diseases are tied up in some way with protein aggregation. And many of the proteins that form these aggregates in disease, when we started to look at them in cells, it turns out they were part of these dynamic compartments. So in other words, they normally form liquids, but then they undergo what we call an aberrant phase transition to become, you know, an aggregate.
So the compromise of concentrating your proteins into compartments for faster reactions is a risk of over-concentrating them into aggregates, and this is extremely damaging for the cell.
You have a disbalance of transcription, and if that is impaired, you can think of destabilizing and collapse of microtubules, insufficient microtubule repair, and that has, of course, detrimental effects on the cell as well. Everything goes down the drain.
Another key factor here is that protein aggregation increases with age, potentially explaining the increased development of neurodegenerative diseases in later life. But this link may also be useful for potential treatments.
Let's say you think about the problem of aging as a problem of protein solubility, that proteins are becoming less soluble as you age, and if you could find chemicals that keep proteins more soluble, that might help us think about how to prevent protein aggregation. That would, of course, potentially help ameliorate disease. So we have found chemicals that do that. It turns out to be really relatively straightforward to identify chemicals that affect the physical chemistry of these drops.
And this is why a growing number of researchers are interested in phase separation, as it offers a different approach to treating a range of age-related diseases.
The exciting thing for me is that there are many different neurodegenerative diseases involving many different proteins. But the idea of modulating the solubility of a general class of proteins suggests we might have a more general way of dealing with neurodegenerative diseases. That would be potentially a great step forward in thinking about how to prevent aggregation in disease and aging.
That was Tony Hyman from the Max Planck Institute of Molecular Cell Biology and Genetics in Germany talking to Ellie Mackay. You also heard from Susanna Wegman from the Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School in the US. Nature had a recent feature on phase separation, which you can find over at nature.com/news.